Felt a tug on the line and I didn't pay attention. Spinning way too fast. Before I knew it, I was staring at a 10-pound shiny bass. When I tried to pull the fish inside, I pulled a muscle in my upper thigh. I was
welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. And Grizz, we're going to let you do what you do the best. Rant and rave and vent. I know one of the things you like to rant about is stupid people, but we want to talk a little bit about sharks, and maybe stupid people and sharks are a related subject, because...
Well, it is really good. You know, you put the best way to get rid of stupid people is put them in sharks' mouths.
Well, all I know is that I don't know how many sharks are killed by man every year, but, you know, it's, I don't know, hundreds, thousands, millions. But there's not that many sharks that eat people. So.
No, John, you know, the thing of it is a shark doesn't really eat people. I mean, there's a very few that attack, and they're generally big and old guys that run up around the beach. And it's just like if you go talking about bears or talking about cougars, you know, they get up to age where it's hard to chase down a fish and eat it, or in a cougar or bear, it's hard to chase down a deer.
So they take
the easiest prey they can get because they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who's right? We're right going out into the ocean and saying sharks are out here? Well, you're damn right they're out there. That's where they live. I mean, come on. It's like going in a mountain and say, I've seen a mountain lion. Well, you should see a mountain lion. They live there. We don't have any rights being out in the oceans. So you get bit by a shark. Well, is it the shark's fault? I don't think so, John. And the thing of it is, sharks do not attack people very, very often. There are more people killed by cows than by sharks.
Really?
By ostrich than by sharks.
Really? Is that,
last year, in the whole world, there were three people killed by sharks, and 742 people were killed by cows.
Wow.
So should we go out and kill all the cows now? I mean, come on, we got stupid people, but mostly I don't like to call them stupid because I hate stupid people. We say ignorant people.
Well,
that just because years ago they came out with a show called Jaws, and now they've got this vision in their mind that they run around chasing boats and try to pull them off and eat them. It doesn't happen like that.
Well, Grizz,
and
what?
Now you, what, John?
I said one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up, in California, with the warm water that's been coming up from the south, what we've talked about many times, a lot of exotic pelagic species are here. And for something that we've, new to us, almost never seen, is there's a lot of hammerhead sharks. And, of course, you know, if someone comes around, there was a guy in a kayak that a shark was harassing, you know, and he was beating him off with his paddle. It was a hammerhead. I don't know if it was this. There's apparently 10 species. But if you put in the newspaper headline shark attack, or, you know, you advertise it on the radio and get some footage, everybody wants to hear about it and read it. But it is not quite what they represent. So hammerheads, well, you're, I think, a biologist, but you can probably give an idea. My understanding is that on hammerhead sharks, I looked on the internet the other day, and in the entire history, that anywhere that you can find on the internet, there's been 33 attacks by hammerhead sharks on people. And there's only, like, out of the 10 species, there's only three that could do that. But out of those 33 people, there's never been a death by an attack by a hammerhead shark.
Well, John, look at the way their mouth is positioned, for one thing. It will be very, very difficult for them to do dangerous biting on people. And the other guy, the guy that's out there paddling around in a kayak, if the hammerhead wanted to eat him, he would have eaten him.
Yeah.
I mean, here he is in a little kayak, which, you know, we took that big long trip in kayaks. I hate them. But anyway, you know, we did it. When you're down there sitting on the bottom, a big catfish can eat you.
Yeah.
You can't get away. So, come on, guy, give me a break. You were attacked by a hammerhead. Well, what are you, a wuss? I mean, if the hammerhead attacked you, you wouldn't be telling us a story. He would have jumped over, knocked a kayak over, and ate your head off. So, do you feel like a big man now that you were attacked by a hammerhead? That's a bunch of hogwash. Maybe the kayak was gone. Here comes a swim and a hammerhead. He looks at it. The hammer said, I've never seen a big green object like that. What is it? The guy says, hammerhead, and starts beating it or trying to hit it.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of splashes in the water. Now it's really curious.
Yeah.
The hammer saying, the head saying, my golly, this might be something to eat after all.
No.
Come on, give me a break. If the hammerhead wanted to have eaten him, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Well, the other.
But people like to get attention. It's like, yep, that, oh, I see this big snake in my yard. Yeah, so what? It didn't hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get so tired of people complaining. And you're right, they're killing sharks to cut the fins off to send them to Japan,
China,
so that those guys can eat the fins,
shark fin
and
soup,
feel like bigger men, because they have problems with the lower part of their body. So they want to chew on fins to make the lower part of the body function.
Yeah, that's,
or chew
that's
on rhinoceros noses.
Yeah.
Well, and they think it's going to work.
Well, the important thing is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is that I believe there's 10 species, and virtually all of them are on, you know, some level of the endangered list. And,
yeah.
And
yeah,
again,
because the people are killing them.
Well, and they might be fun to catch, but, you know, most sharks don't, I mean, you've got makos and threshers, of course, that are, make good table fare. But most,
yeah,
sharks,
they're good eating.
Most sharks, they have a shelf life of about 2 hours. They don't taste good. It's kind of like eating rubber that tastes like ammonia, because they secrete excrete, I guess, the word, you know, through their skin. And, you know, done properly, they can be edible. But the idea of killing them for food is, it makes no sense. And killing them for sport, then, you know, what's the sport in that?
Well, the thing of it is, I'll be honest with you, the two fighting fishes that are great as far as shark is the mako and, like you said, the thresher, because they jump, they run. But I've caught a lot of hammerheads by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very heavy. They don't fight. And when you win, they come to the boat like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can grab a hold of each side of their nostril, you might say, where their eyes mm-hmm. are. And just you can pull back on that, open their mouth, and pull the hook out.
Yeah.
Especially if you're using an eagle claw circle hook.
Well,
and they won't even try to bite you.
Yeah,
now, where the silkies and the makos, stick your hand down close to their mouth and you'll come back with a stub.
But, well, the hammerheads are very unusual. Apparently, they've evolved that way because their eyes are kind of on the outside and it gives them something of better visibility. But nature makes some strange things.
Well, yeah, a hammerhead, they look pretty weird.
Okay. Well, Grizz, we're going to we're going to wrap it up here in about the next 30 seconds for this segment, and then we're going to see if we can get Bob Sumaro from Western Outdoor News on the line, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about with him, but whatever it is, I'm sure it'll be fun. Maybe we'll continue the conversation.
Well, it'll be interesting anyway.
Yeah. And then after the segment after that, we're going to have the editor of Western Outdoor News. So I appreciate you hanging in and calling in, Grizz, and I'm hopefully be seeing you shortly. I'll be down and be down your way in the next few days.
Yeah, looking forward to it, John.
All righty. You're welcome. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes, and the best is yet to come.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espirito Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Gonna back this boat into the water, find a way to win a couple dollars. Weatherman says there's a cold front coming down. Bring it on, I've seen it all by now.
Welcome back. Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have, of course, the Grizz that was give us, you know, his always insightful opinions. But interest, you know, it really is important. And I grizz, you know, we all know that because people just, you know, don't understand. Another one of the things I know that Grizz doesn't like is, well, first of all, killing anything just for the sake of killing it. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we consider predators that people think they're just because they're there, they should kill them, like rattlesnakes, for example.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that, John.
Okay, I won't.
No, don't get me started on rattlesnakes. I love rattlesnakes.
Yeah. And, yeah, just because there's one there, I mean, and there's something, well, I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but you're saying that they when they do attack, it's not so much a matter of that they're just being mean and aggressive.
Well, first of all, they don't attack. They just defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wrong word. And the other thing that you want to say is the venom is a pre-digestive system because they don't have the correct stomach acids that we do.
Okay. So, yeah. So, injecting the venom starts the process of digestion before the
exactly. Active, yeah,
okay, but anyway, without getting off on that again, we have Bob Sumaru, who's a staff writer for probably the biggest, most successful, longest lasting weekly publication in the world.
Yeah, and it's been around since 1952.
Wow.
Western Outdoor News has been published every week since 1952.
Well, I don't think you were even around in 52. I'm sure Grizz wasn't.
Actually, I wasn't. It started on
you
my
were,
birthday.
John.
Okay, Grizz. We don't have to go there.
But I wasn't.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, I'm sorry, Bob.
Yeah, no worries. Anyway, Western Outdoor News, like I say, it started on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
On the day you were born?
Yeah, it just so happened that's when they started published.
Well, that is interesting. And then you and then you end up as being their premier staff writer.
That's just an amazing coincidence. Of course, I worked hard to get to that position. So.
You know, come on, Bob. You work hard. You go fishing, okay?
Every week.
Yeah,
every week.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I know. But then you have to write about it. So okay, what a tough job.
I love it. I love
okay.
every bit of it.
Well,
you know, one of the things I love most is the people I run into.
Yeah.
Frequently, I go out on the charter trips this paper has. And what with the current conditions offshore of 75-degree water and the pelagics moving around and all the exotics coming in, you may have heard about the 600-pound-plus marlin that was caught off San Diego.
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Oh, yeah. Just this weekend, 600-plus pound marlin picked up on a private boat, a 22-foot boat, and the two fellows who were fishing 100-pound line, and they managed to land it in just 2 hours.
Wow.
I can't remember the fellow's last name, Matt.
Yeah.
Name, but he brought that thing in, and they weighed it down at the yacht club in San Diego, and it's an amazing story.
Wow.
But typical of having this kind of warm water conditions, of course, you know, there's a lot of sharks around.
Yep. Yeah, we were talking about that, and please, people, if you're out there, again, you know, there's a sport. Some of them you can take for table fare, but I don't. Grizz, I believe that there's 10 species of hammerheads, and all of them are on the endangered species list. Matter of fact, most sharks. That's true, John.
That's true.
Because most sharks actually worldwide are diminishing rapidly for a lot of stupid reasons. But
John, you especially their fins.
Yeah.
You mentioned hammerheads. Well, on the recent trip, we were offshore for a 2.5-day trip, and my partner Gary was along from Camarillo. Gary hooked into a nice tuna, about a 50-pound-plus tuna.
Uh-huh.
Got it all the way to the gaff.
Let me guess.
The gaff went into the fish, and a hammerhead came out of the water after it. It jumped a full 2 feet out of the water to grab that 3/4 of the fish and pull it down with it.
Oh, so he did get the fish.
Did get the fish.
Wow.
And that same poor angler hooked into another one about an hour later, and sure enough, right at the gaff, it got taken away by another hammerhead.
Oh, no. Well, I can see how that could be upsetting.
Yeah, but we told him to put up his rod and give it up.
Yeah. Well, let's see what else is going on that's of interest that Grizz and I might be enlightened a little bit on. What else is interesting that's happening in the fishing world on the West Coast?
Oh, I tell you, one of the things that's nice this time of year, you got a lot of carp fishing going on. And what we've been doing is we've been exploring some of the inner city waterways that run through the Southern California area and actually going down into the L.A. River and the Santa Ana River that are nothing more than concrete culverts with some water running through them and finding some great carp on the fly.
I love to catch carp on the fly.
Yeah. It's amazing. We've been actually getting 2 and 3 a trip. They're very wary, and you have to watch for where they're tailing, because only when they're tailing are they going to actually take a fly. But if you see them tailing, if you see their tails sticking out of the water, then you know it's time to throw at them.
Wow. Well, you know, what is interesting is how times have changed. About 5 years ago, I think I got a call from somebody that said he was the president of the North American Carp Fishing Association, and I thought he was kidding me. I go, Carp Fishing Association? Nobody does that. Why would you want to? Well, over the years, I found out that it can be very interesting and exciting. And apparently, they 100 years or so ago, they were brought over to use for food, and very expensive.
Talking about fly fishing for carp, I used to in Montana at the Bighorn Dam, the Yellowtail, I used to go in the backside in the night when the caddis hatches were on.
Uh-huh.
And those carp will come up and just sound like a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, sucking it?
All
yeah.
the bugs off the top.
Wow.
And put a fly in front of them, a little caddis fly imitation,
uh-huh.
and they suck that up and the fight's on. I just love to do that.
Yeah, I've never done that, but I understand it's not much different than a tarpon. Is that right?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to add, is to think in terms of catching tarpon in a river, in a small stream. And, you know, the water's often not more than 10 to 15 inches deep, but you got a 14, 16-pound fish swimming around in there that's got the muscles
wow.
of a racehorse.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, when they catch on, they're just gone. And they start jumping and running, and it's just amazing.
Wow. And, well, the thing about that, too, is I don't know, both of you guys can probably answer this. You know, when you fish, you know, bass, largemouth and smallmouth bass are very popular in the United States, and they exist in almost every state. Well, carp are kind of the same, aren't they?
Yep, yep.
I think there's
and usually
more
wherever you get carp,
bass.
You're going to get bass and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. So it's something that you've never thought about, but I can tell you that it's not easy. You know, you'd think that, they're just dumb and stupid, and they just kind of swim around like goldfish, but or koi or something, but they're very difficult.
Koi. That's yeah. what they are.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in college, I went to college in Kentucky. We used to take big dough balls and throw them down to the ponds. And you'd sit there and wait till a carp sucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not that easy. It's not easy at all. I've seen them. There's one time when they're around the docks, and there's, you know, half a dozen of them just kind of swimming around there. And I was trying to put anything in the water. They were not interested at all.
You know, John, to switch gears on you just a bit here, another thing that's coming up on October 1st, the first 2 weeks of October is when steelhead runs start coming in up on the Northern California and Oregon.
Oh, that's the fall run is awesome.
Yep, and I got to tell you, there's plans afoot for us to get up there and get us some.
Well, is Western Outdoor News going to do something or put any trips together?
No, they don't really service that area that much, and so they don't run trips up there, but I certainly do. I get up there and I always do a story. We call it our Road Warrior series.
Yeah.
Me and a couple of my buddies jump into a pickup truck and drive up there overnight on a Friday.
Right.
Fish Saturday, Sunday, Monday, drive back Monday night overnight. By then, we will have caught our fill, that's for sure.
Well, hey, if anybody's interested, get in touch with me, and maybe we can get Bob to help you out a little bit and do some steelhead fishing.
I'll certainly give him the right setup and tell him where to go, what to do.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm kind of a peg-to-bead, peg-deg kind of guy.
Yeah, well, maybe.
A lot of guys swing. I don't swing. I do the peg day.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get you to give them a lesson if need be. But also, we're going to have to take a break pretty quick. But coming up is Pat McDonald, and I think you know who he is because I think he signed your paycheck, doesn't he?
Yeah, Pat McDonald is my boss. He's the editor-in-chief of Outdoor News.
And, you know, he's going to, hopefully we can find him. I know he's busy today, and so hopefully we can bring him on. If you can hang around for a few minutes and maybe introduce him for us, that'd be great.
Great. Love to do it.
Okay. And then, of course, Grizz, we don't want you to go anywhere.
No, I'm not going anywhere yet, John.
Okay.
You got me for about another half hour, and then I'm going to my boat.
Okay. Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, get that ready because I'm going to be down there pretty quick. And, speaking of that, fly fishing, hopefully coming up in the next week, you're going to take me out and show me how to do that saltwater fly fishing. But I don't think you have any carp in the Sea of Cortez, do you?
We got some people that look like carp. I mean, they're suckers.
Well, what about, can you fly fish for grouper and that kind of thing, Grizz?
Yeah, well, I do.
I know.
I can chum them up and get grouper and snapper and almost everything.
Well, I know you like rooster fish, but...
rooster fish, I catch a lot of those.
Yeah, all right, hopefully they're here.
And marlin, if we can find a striped marlin.
Okay, well, I don't know if I want to do that. That's a lot of work.
Have we got another minute here, John?
No, we're going to come right back, but right. Don't go away. We're going to bring Pat McDonald, I think, is going to be coming up as soon as we start off, and you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'd be right back with you.
Oh, yeah. The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Bass Angler Magazine simply brings you more. If you want to learn the latest technique, start winning tournaments, or just catch more bass, then Bass Angler Magazine is for you. Go to www.bassmag.com, click on the order link, and use the promo code FBR. Go to www.bassmag.com, Bass Angler Magazine, bassmag.com. It will be the best $20 you've ever spent.
There's a boat race down the river. There's a slow boat on my mind. Everybody's going like crazy, but I'm taking my own sweet time. I'll drift down the Big Shark River.
You know what? You are listening to Fish Talk Radio, but I didn't want to start in because I was enjoying Willie Nelson. But good job, Richard. Anyway, as promised, we have Grizz, of course, on the line with us that we've been talking and ranting with. And then Bob Summer has been very insightful. And, you know, we talked a little bit about carp fishing, which I didn't know we were going to talk about, but that was quite interesting. And we promised that we would have Bob's boss on the line with us, the actual publisher of the Western Outdoor News. And Pat, Bob was telling us the day the first paper was published was the day he was born. Did you know that?
Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't. I'm not the publisher, but I'm the editor. And yes, it's true. The first issue came out in 1954. There was a preview issue in 1953, the end of the year, but towards Christmas. But the first issue came out in 1954, which is when I was born 61 years ago. So, yeah,
oh, you too.
So it turned out to be
that was born on the first day of issue.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Right, Pat?
But there was a little coincidence there.
Wow.
So it's been kind of fun. fun.
Wow, must be in the stars.
Take your pick, guys. Take your pick.
It must be in the stars.
Boy, you guys are old.
Hey, come on, Grizz. I know how old you are.
Well, I like to throw one in to make people think I'm young anyway.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, one of the main reasons we wanted to bring Pat on, first of all, he's got such a dynamic personality. Great guy. If you ever get the chance to meet him, everybody that meets him likes him. But what we wanted to obviously talk about is Western Outdoor News every year. How many years has this been going on, the beginning of November, Pat?
Well, the Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot Tournament was started 16 years ago. And so this is November 4th through the 7th will be our 16th year. It started in 1999 and with 112 boats. And this year, and it's fluctuated in depending on the economy and various other factors, but it's always been over 100 teams. This year we'll have, I think we're going to have 150. Last year we had the hurricane came in 6 weeks before, and we still drew 131 teams. And this year, a lot of teams that didn't make it last year are joining in. So I think we're at least, projections are about 150 teams for the tuna tournament. It's the biggest jackpot tuna tournament in the world, so and the biggest tournament every year in Mexico. So it's grown, and that's cool.
That's one of the greatest charities for that area too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a charity tournament, so to speak, but we do have elements of charity. And when I started it, I wanted to do something for charity each year for the kids, for children in Cabo San Lucas. And so this year we're doing smilesinternational.org, which does surgeries for facial surgeries for children in Cabo San Lucas. And so the money's going to that. And then last year we raised $50,000 for repairing some of the homes in Cabo San Lucas. And this year the money's going to the facial surgery program.
Well, hey, Pat, I'm still a kid at heart, and I could use some help with my face.
That's why you got to
money
ready
for raising enough money for that.
Yeah. Nobody could fix that one.
But we're really looking forward to it. Looking forward to a great tournament, and I think people enjoy the that aspect of the tournament as well as the competition and the fun.
Well, if I can make a comment, the Bisbee Black and Blue is probably one of the best known huge prize money. But what I really like about the tuna tournament, as far as the participation, you get as many or frequently more boats than they do, but it doesn't cost you $100,000 to get into it.
Well, the Bisbees cost between, I think, $6,000 at the very basic entry. Most people get into about the $16,000 range per team, and then it goes up to, I think, $30,000 for, because they added some jackpots several years ago. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years ago, they added the mega jackpot, which if you want to go across the board in some crazy way, it's $60,000.
Yeah.
But generally, most boats are below that.
Yeah.
And so they give out at close to $2.5 to $3 million. 1 year they gave away $4 million.
Yeah, I remember that.
Before the economy took a
yeah,
took
that
a
was
dive.
I think it was the boat from Hawaii. Bad company. They won $3.9 million by finishing first 2 days and second
right.
1 day.
Yeah. Exactly. They gave away $4.1 million, I think, that year, and then Bad Company won $3.9 million.
Yeah.
So it was pretty spectacular. That's been their calling card ever since.
Oh yeah.
So I think they're gonna have a really good field this year. I think it's going to be a very big. The economy's improved, and our tournament will be up, and I know that that Wayne and Bob's tournament will be up as well.
Now, you do it on that date on purpose, correct?
Well, we do. We always keep it on the same Wednesday through Saturday of November so everybody can plan their timeshares and their flights and their schedule and their vacations. We never change it. It's always on the website, and we always announce it. It never changes. And it's always 2 weeks after Bisbee's giving us a chance for Cabo to settle down a little bit. And then there's also a time for another tournament to pop in there, here and there, whether it's a Marlin tournament or another pelagic tournament of some kind. So it gives us a two-week break.
Well, I guess my point, the Bisbee and your tournament, you know, they don't hold them in January or June for a reason.
Oh, in terms of the fishing, of course. Right. Yeah, that's what you. It's hard to plan fish. I mean, you can invite them to the party, but they may don't always show up. But I always over the research that I did in planning the event, it was always first week of or the end of November is when we start seeing the migration. Now we're seeing really a lot of big fish right now, though. Oh. I'm telling you. So and we're doing Facebook posts and on the website, and people are getting very excited because we're getting 200-pound plus fish, 295-pound was caught, a lot of hundreds and 150s. So fishing has really just gone crazy lately on the tuna, and we hope that it stays around. But generally, the first week of November is really prime time for the bigger tuna on the banks.
What did tuna eat, by the way?
Well, the Bordeaux bank, they'll eat anything, but particularly they'll have a little bait there called the Tuwili, which is you can only catch them one at a time. They're the candy bait of yellowfin tuna. Mm-hmm. But they'll eat sardina, you know. They eat the sardina, they eat mackerel, caballitos.
John, when they're hitting, they hit anything.
And it depends on your, Grizz is right. They do yummy flyers, which are with the use of kites, they can use a heavier line, and that's a lot of big fish caught on that. So it's a variety. And tuna, that's the beautiful thing about tuna fishing. You can catch them in many, many different ways. You just have to figure out what's the best way to do it in the time frame that you have.
I want to interrupt a minute. You're talking about the Bisbees, and you're talking about the tuna tournament. You know, Pat, I go to both of them. This year we're giving away all the hooks for Eagle Claw to the Bisbee. I always go to your tournament, and there's a definite, it's really different. The Bisbee is a very professional, straightforward fishing tournament, and the tuna tournament is fun. It's a whole different class of people, everybody happy. I mean, I love your tournament. It's incredible, the atmosphere, the energy, and everything about it.
Well, thanks, Chris.
I
appreciate that.
It's just a great tournament. Anybody who wants to go to a tournament, even if they don't fish, should go to your tournament.
Well, Pat, real quickly, speaking of that, if somebody wants to get in, what does it cost, and how do they register?
All right. So, I'm just going to tell you that the entry form is $1,000 to enter for a form up to four people on a team. We give four of everything, so you have two guys on a boat or one or three or four, I don't care. So it's $1,000. And then it goes all the way up to $23,200, depending on how many optionals you want to get into.
All the side bets.
Cut a format.
Yeah. All the side bets.
So you can get into all the side funds or not get into any. A lot of teams get in just for the $1,000 Wahoo Dorado, which pays about $45,000 to $50,000 each day. Most of the optionals pay, there's like six of them for tuna, and all of them pay generally about the same, or somewhere each day around $35,000 to $40,000.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people can afford. So you figure for the tournament, it's probably going to cost you a couple grand for the boat and the captain and your supplies, $1,000 for entry fee, and you divide that four ways.
I'll break it down for you real quick. On our website, I actually broke it all down. If you wanted bait, rental car, boat, get into three of the optionals, not the high ones, but the low ones, food, everything, the whole thing. Break it all down to the time you leave your house to the time you get back, and you actually have a chance at winning some real money. It costs $2,300 for four people. If you want to get a bigger boat,
wait a minute. It's
$2,300 to do the tournament.
That's per person for
per
four
person.
People. Yeah, right.
That's if you broke it down. Right. So people go.
Yeah, you can do that
in Cabo San Lucas. Let's say you're going to go fishing in Cabo San Lucas, and you're going to fish for 3 days with your buddies.
Yeah, it's going to cost you that anyway.
It's going to cost you that anyway, especially if you go to one of the strip bars in Cabo. we don't have to talk about that.
I didn't know there was any down there.
You buy a round of drinks at a bar or something.
There you go.
It's going to cost you a fair amount of money. So $2,300 really a bargain.
We have a lot of listeners in all over the U.S. and Europe. So let's see if we can. You still got a month to get in. So let's see if we can get some interest in there and get some people that from the East Coast that like to fish. And
my God,
especially.
Mr. Hennigan, we have many, many people from the Yukon.
We have
people from Japan. We've got a lot of people from back east. We got three or four teams from Ohio.
Pat, we're gonna have to get going, but I think the point is...
Let me explain where people can find out more about it, okay?
Okay.
And then that's easy to do, and the best way to do is to go on the website, which is LosCabosTunaJackpot.com. If you just Google Cabo Tuna, that website's coming up. Don't worry about it.
CaboTuna.com. Yeah, just Google it anywhere. Pat, thank you very much. And as the weather starts getting cold, maybe up in some of the northern climes, you might want to go to Cabo at the beginning of November.
Extend your summer.
There you go. Thank you, Pat. We really appreciate that. And Bob, I know you got to get back to work, so we appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, got to get going.
All right, you guys. Have a good time.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.